Jim awoke face down, with his arms sprawled across a copy of the travelogue that he'd been reading just a few hours before. It's dawn, and he is still sitting at the kitchen table where he had eaten supper and collapsed into a deep sleep. Last night? Could that have possibly happened? Still feeling exhausted, Jim shakes the sleep cobwebs out of his head and remembers the visions still so very vivid in his mind, imagining and hoping the vision is only a delusion. He thinks that could not have possibly happened, must have been just a dream. Convinced that the vision had been only a fantasy, Jim remembered that he needed to find George, and so he arose from the table where he'd been sitting. When he stood up, Jim felt something swing against his neck. Looking down, he saw an 1838 copper penny with the initials JPC stamped on the coin's obverse, hanging off a frayed ribbon. It was the coin in his dream. Well, I'll be darned. Guess this part is, well, real. Slowly coming to his senses, he walked out the door of the camp toward his canoe, grabbing his binoculars and his emergency day pack along the way. He stood on the dock, and using his field glasses, he surveyed the lake. Scanning the north shore, he quickly picked up the glint of something long and silver, holding steady about a mile down the lake, roughly 300 yards from the beach. Remembering the prophecy from last night, Jim slipped on a life jacket and hurriedly jumped into his canoe. Yanking the outboard motor's rewind cord, the engine came to life with the first pull. Underway, the Ranger cruised at wide open speed, splitting the budding whitecaps cresting across the lake's surface. Arriving at the shiny object, Jim found George's canoe lying on its side and bobbing like a giant apple in the waves of a northwest wind. The mercury outboard, still hooked to the mount on the side of the canoe, was lying horizontal in the water. A red gas tank floating nearby was held to the craft by a black umbilical gas line. The canoe had a rope tied off at the bow that led straight down towards the deep recess of the lake. Jim quickly realized that an anchor had fallen out of the watercraft, and it now served as a mooring, secure the canoe in place. In the distance, a wooden paddle floated away with the waves. Getting closer to the overturned canoe, he could see a hand peeking over the edge, desperately tied by a nylon cord to the canoe's thwart. There wasn't a life jacket in sight. Moving to the other side of the 20-foot craft, Jim saw that George was hanging on by a thread. His face was turned sideways, partially out of the water, but the color of his face was an ash white. George's bad eye stared, unseeing, straight up in the air. Shifting his motor into neutral, Jim knelt on the bottom of his canoe to keep his center of gravity low. Once positioned, he used his belt knife to free the man tied to the swamped canoe. George's body remained on the surface for a second, lurched, and began to sink. With one hand, the rescuer grabbed the victim by his collar, and with his other, slipped it under the back of George's belt. Careful not to tilt his own canoe too far, Jim rolled the unconscious man into the rescue canoe. A brisk wind bounced the Ranger's canoe from side to side. Once George was on the floor of his canoe, Jim bent down and placed two fingers on the side of George's neck. Jim felt a slight pulse. Thank goodness, Jim thought. The man isn't dead. Once in the canoe, George coughed, but his good eye remained closed, unseeing. His canoe is anchored in place and won't be going anywhere,